But a lot of great things are happening, and that's really the design of this lesson today. I want us to talk about, to Him be the glory. What's that all about? Well, Ephesians chapter 3 says, to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. It's the very purpose of the church, it's the very purpose of this very congregation to bring glory to God. And in the Bible, there were those times whenever there were those who had been involved in mission work, came back and reported to the church. Acts chapter 14, verse 23 says, they rehearsed to them all that God had done. And this is that one Sunday of the month where we look back. We try to look forward every other time. But this is that one time in the year when we look back and say, God has been so good to us. Because 2 weeks from now, we'll be having what is entitled our Mission Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But on the last Sunday of this month, there will be that special contribution that is designed to help this church bring more and more glory to God. You and I need to understand that we live on this earth to bring glory to God, and what a blessing it is to be able to work together and to do all that we can to bring glory to God. So here's what we're going to do. Visitors, if you're here today, I want you to know that you'll rejoice at what God has done through this church. We're going to be talking about money. We don't talk about money in church all the time. But this is that one time when we talk about the fact that the Lord has blessed us and we need to use what the Lord has given us. And that's what that Mission Sunday is all about. We'll say more about that in just a moment. Let me introduce this aspect of this lesson by pointing out the fact that in giving glory to Him, God's plan has always been to use the few. And I've got the word "the few" in quotation marks because that indicates a rather special usage of that word. I want you to just stop and think about how many times God did not use the masses. I want you to think about in your mind, can you think of Bible events and those times in the Bible whenever God chose to use the very few? You look back to the book of Genesis, and there is that occasion, is there not, of Noah. And I know the Lord used Noah, one of the few righteous men on the earth. In fact, the judgment of God was ready to come. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So in all likelihood, Noah preached for 120 years trying to bring glory to God. They didn't necessarily respond. Noah's world, in many respects, is like South Florida, isn't it? Folks not highly religious down in this part of the country. Imagine trying to serve the Lord 120 years faithfully and never ever being able to do anything for God and see the visible results of it. Now, the results are there, just not that positive glory results that sometimes we see. But He used the few, did He not? You stop and think about those incidents in the Bible whenever God chose Abraham. The world had become so very evil, but there is that man Abraham. And God chose Abraham because of his faith and used that one man, that one family, to build the Jewish nation. God's plan has always been to use the few. Can we talk about Gideon? You remember Gideon, that judge that had his army gathered together to fight against the Midianites, and he has 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord says, you've got too many soldiers. Now, wait a minute. The Midianites got 120,000, and we've got 32,000, and the Lord says, you've got too many. And so they ask all of those who were afraid to go home, and two-thirds of the army went home. You stop and think about it. Now he's down to an army of about 10,000, and the Lord says, you got too many. Well, wait a minute. 120,000, 10,000. And because of the incident they used as to how they drank the water whenever they cupped their hands and brought the water to the face or did not do that, Gideon has an army of 300 men. Here's the point. God has always used the few. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 16 where there is Gideon, that's King Saul's son. There's the garrison, to use the military term. There's the garrison of the Philistines that are gathered together. And there are two men. There is Jonathan, and there is his armor bearer. They got two men. Over the way is this troop of soldiers of the Philistines. You know the Philistines, do you not? You know how ferocious they were? Think about Goliath, who has already been handled earlier in this book. But here's this massive army of the Philistines, and here are two individuals. And Jonathan turns to his friend and says, "Let's just go over there and see what's happening." Knowing that he'd put his life in danger, at least there's the possibility. And then Jonathan says, "There is no restraint with God to save by many or by the few." Did you hear that? Our theme this year is to talk about us using God to help us. And here is Jonathan saying, "There's no restraint with God to save by many or by the few." There's a story about Elisha, who whenever the city was surrounded by the enemy army of the Syrians, he told his servant, "Those that be with us are more than those that be with them." There were two faithful believers in God that were there. And he says, "There are more on our side than on the other side." Here's a point we're trying to make. There is no restraint with God to save by many or to save by the... You know why this is? Because if you have the massive numbers, the glory goes to mankind. I want you to hear that. David sinned when he counted the troops that were in his kingdom, when he did a census to find out how many people were there. Why? Well, you get to the end results, and David could have said, "Look at this vast kingdom that I'm king over. Go out and fight a battle. Look what we have done." And the Bible said David sinned in doing that. And when Jesus was ready to carry the gospel to the world, he picked 12 men and told them, "You go preach the gospel to every creature." At that time when he said that, there were only 11 of them. Here's your responsibility. You make sure that everybody on the face of this earth hears the gospel. God has always used the few because the end result is glory is being brought to God. Now the truthful is, this is, we are the few. We are the few. How many folks in Palm Beach County? Wonder what percentage of people are worshiping God at all today in any religious assembly. We are the few. And you and I need to have a faith in God, an appreciation of the fact there is no restraint with God because, and here's the theme for this year, with God we can. You believe that? Philippians 3, "I can do all things through Christ. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us." And I want I want all of us to understand we serve the Almighty God. It's not up to us. And when the Lord said to those individuals that were there, "Carry the gospel to all the world," there were 11. But it wasn't up to them. "I'll be with you." Whenever through that great commission given to them, which has been passed on to us, with God we can. And the beautiful thing is, the glory will be brought to God. Not because of the massive number, not because we're the richest folks on this earth, but because we're determined to serve God. Now, if you're visiting with us or if you've become a member within the last year of this congregation, you may not understand the very concept of Mission Sunday. It was 11 years ago that the elders made the decision, here's what we're going to do about mission work. We've been giving about $50,000 every year toward mission work. And the elders said, "Let's set aside one Sunday and let's come to the church and tell them on that Sunday we need to have, if we're going to do what we've been doing in the past, we need to have a contribution of $50,000 on that Sunday." The amazing thing was, when this church was challenged on that day at the end of that day, one of the elders made the comment, "We had no idea about the heart of this church." 2.5 times that amount, $125,000 were given. So the elders decided that one Sunday every year, that every cent that is given will be devoted to mission work and fulfilling the Great Commission of God. That was 11 years ago that happened. It started in 2004 and up until 2014. Last year, the average contribution has been on that Sunday $106,727. And who would have ever dreamed 11 years ago that it would be possible for this congregation to say, from this one congregation, $1,284,000 has been given for mission work. We ought not to be filled with pride, but we ought to be filled with thanksgiving. You're visiting with us today. I want you to know about the very nature of the church. Churches of Christ are autonomous. Just like they were in Bible times. There were no state headquarters and no national conventions or anything like that. Just a group of people got together and said, "We're going to serve Jesus. We're going to be His church in this place." And God said, "Okay, in that local congregation, there to be elders and there to be deacons." And that congregation is with the help that God gives in wisdom, that congregation is responsible for doing His work. And so 11 years ago, a wise eldership said, "We're going to challenge this church once every year." And the end result is, from those who are sitting in this congregation this day, and those who were part of this congregation in the last 11 years, $1.25 million has been given. Does that bring joy to you? Who would have ever dreamed when an eldership said, "We're giving $50,000 a year, here's what we'll do," and this one congregation, $1.25 million. How's that money been used? Since they rehearsed in Bible times what God had done with them, let's talk a few moments about how this $1.2 million has been spent. That house-to-house, heart-to-heart magazine, if you're visiting with us and live in this area, you've probably been getting this magazine if you live reasonably close to this building. And this one congregation has sent out, purchased, and paid the postage for 940,000 copies of that one magazine. And with the plans made for Mission Sunday for next year, this time next year we'll be able to say 1 million pieces of literature. Which is something to think about it. Here's this congregation, or here's this county, here's this area. And from this one congregation, because of your love for the lost and your desire for others to know about the Lord and about His work, nearly 1 million pieces, 1 million tracts, 16 pages each, full color, beautiful, ornate in the appearance of it. You. He. Has distributed 1 million booklets. What's that money been used for? There was that daily radio program that had the potential audience in the nearly 6 years it was on the air coming out of the Stewart area, and an audience of 2 million people. For 5 years, we were part of using the radio to reach this area. We decided in that period of time to try a television program. Television is so expensive, and so with an audience perhaps of 300,000, we tried to reach out into this area on the cable. Then how about, you remember those television ads? The 2-year period of time in which hundreds and thousands of spot ads were used to call attention to the fact that Christ's church is still on this earth. That your church you read about in the Bible with elders and deacons and the Lord's Supper every Sunday and the proclaiming of the Word of God. That church is still here on this earth, trying to do His will, not to be self-righteous, but to glorify the righteousness of God and to really be Christ's church here on this earth. And how we rejoice together at the fact that those individuals were able to know that. And then one special piece of literature that we designed and published went out to 50,000 homes called The Plan of Salvation. How about the senior high mission trips? Young people, you don't know how much this church loves you and loves those who have gone before. Our teens go on mission trips every year, and in that period of time, 45 different teens have gone to 9 different states to 15 different congregations. We sent out our missionaries, and our missionaries were you. And you need to understand that a part of Mission Sunday is a vote by this congregation of our confidence in you and those who will go this year and those who will go in coming years. Get yourself ready to serve God. 9 different states our young people have gone to serve the Lord. We had the Spanish work here for the 7-year period of time and tried to establish the Spanish work when most of the impact of that work was happening down in the Lake Worth area, and so we were part of the planning of that of a congregation down in that area. And then recent years we bought those new Bible tracts and those Bible magnetic strips that are on the back of your car. Are you aware that this past year we've had 4 new members, 4 new people to become members of this congregation because of a bumper sticker that you've got, a magnetic strip you've got on the back of your car? Somebody driving around saw that. I'm sure it was mine. And you feel the same way about it. But whenever I've lost one, when it went through the car wash, you know what I did? I came to that little place on the right table as you go out, and I got another magnetic strip to put on my car. Why? Simple thing. But something that talks about going back to the Bible, and somebody reads across the back bumper, back to the Bible, strikes the heart and strikes the mind of those who see it. God, help us to have the wisdom. And then the outreach via banners and by signs and the very location of this building, 500,000 people per day drive by I-95. That's in more involved in what's happening in this local work. What about our mission work? We've had 13 full-time missionaries, listen to this, in 26 countries on 4 different continents. Hello? 4 different continents this church has touched because we have been part of sending missionaries to live. 26 different nations. This church has helped support missionaries to preach the gospel in that area. And you look at the names of those individuals that are there, and you'll see some of the names that are there. Would you by any chance recognize the name of Chris Fry? And what about this guy named Josh Blackmer? Anybody know anybody by that name? You know, we may not know Nana Aforgy or some of these other names that are there. What about that name, Troy Spradling? 3 young adults from this congregation, their wives and their family. Thank you, Josiah, and thank you, Vivian, for being a part of that mission. And Kara, it wouldn't have happened without you. We all know that. Thank you for being a part of what we're trying to do in this place. To God be the glory. I'm glad Chris grew up in this congregation. I'm glad that for all of those years, Beth was a part of his life, and that Tim was a part of his life, and that you were a part of his life. And I'm thankful that you, knowing Chris, and became a part of that work down in Paraguay. And can we talk about Robert Martin and about those missionaries out of the South Pacific? Are you aware of the fact that there are 22 island nations in the South Pacific, and the Lord's church is on 20 of those 22 island nations that are there. We've been a part of so much of that work that is there. And those are here whenever Joey Treat or when Scott Shanahan or when Robert Martin comes back and talks about the work that's going on out there, to God be the glory. But thanks be to God that there's a sacrificial heart that says we're going to bring glory and honor to God. And then you think about the mission trips where individuals, the church is not sending a group of individuals necessarily, but sending individuals to go and to work. And look at this number. Dozens of mission trips to 25 countries on 6 continents. Money's given on Mission Sunday. I don't know who will be the first one to go to Antarctica. Is that a continent? But isn't that thrilling to think we're a part of that? No. Isn't that thrilling to think that God has used the few to be a part of that? I stand here and I look at some of our young people, and you'll never know how blessed you are by growing up in a congregation that sees the world as the place where the gospel needs to go. And you're a part of it because it's a part of the heart of this congregation. We send adult groups, not just our teens, but we send adult groups to the Bahamas and to Paraguay and to Peru and to Thailand. And then when our kids go off to Christian colleges, they go all over the world. And they're involved in mission work. And a part of that money that is given is used to supplement the cost of our young people as they go into the other nations. Can we take just a moment and talk about Apologetics Press? This congregation has a very special relationship to Apologetics Press that has had for years and years. Our elders make annual trips up to Montgomery and sit down and talk to those men that are there because they need and covet the spiritual advice of this eldership. Not that we oversee and we own that work, but that we are there and we're so much a part of that work. And through this congregation gives not only financial support, but gives direction and spiritual advice to those individuals. There are 4 men that are there on the staff who are out speaking in other places. Do you recognize any of these names? They've all been here. Dave Miller and Jeff Miller and Eric Lyons and Kyle Butts. These 4 men speak around the country. They annually go to 100 different congregations to defend the faith and defend the existence of God and to reveal the inadequacies of evolution in trying to explain where we came from and what the purpose of life is. There are the monthly journals like Reason, Revelation, and Discovery Magazine that's intended for young people. There are all of those books that they have and tracts for adults and young people. If you've never noticed in our foyer, that track rack that's on the right as you go out, tracts for young people, talking about the very things that they're facing in their life. And then there are the videos for adults and for young people. There's Bible class curriculum, there's vacation Bible school material, there's study courses. There is their website that last year had 8 million hits from 175 different nations on this earth. To God be the glory. Dave and Jeff and Eric and Kyle are servants of God, just like we're servants of God. And there's no more honor to be given to those who go than to those who send. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, the church at Philippi had helped him in his mission work, and he says, and the fruit that was produced, listen to this, was credited to the church at Philippi. It abounds to your account. And while we are not saved by works, when we face God, we'll be able to say, God, we tried. We did what we could. We sacrificed in order to be able to do what we could. And because of your goodness and the way that you've blessed us, and because of being a part of a congregation that had willingness of heart to sacrifice and to give to God, in 2014, 175 of the 200 plus nations on this earth was touched by you. No glory to us. We are the few that God has used. To God be the glory. One of the most amazing things that has happened in this work is the vital role that this church has played in carrying the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. What is the most isolated place on this earth? Well, look at the map. You see Easter, you see out there in the Pacific, don't you? Now this first slide is from 10,000 miles up. You may not quite be able to see where Easter Island is, but it's right there in the middle of the Pacific. Where's the landmass around it? Continents over to the east be South America. To the west, continent would be Australia. And there are hardly any island groups at all. Sort of halfway between Easter Island and Australia is another island called Pitcairn. Amazing, isn't it? Uttermost parts of the earth. Well, where is it? Well, let's look at it from 3,500 miles up. If you were able to be in an... You see it there, don't you? Just look right in the middle of the map. There it is. Let's look at it from 500 miles up. Can you see a little tiny island that is the most remote place on this earth? God is good. And we have prayed and we've worked, and the Lord has used this congregation. Josh, we thank you for that trip that you made with Robert Martin when Robert said there's another island out there we've got to get to. And we thank you for the trips that you have made without Robert being there. We thank your family, genuinely thank your family, for being able to do without a husband, without a father. For this gospel to be taken to an island that is only 63 square miles. 63 square miles would be like 8 miles were 8 miles, wouldn't it? Are you aware of the fact that Palm Beach County is 2,400 square miles? Are you aware that the size of Palm Beach Gardens and Riviera Beach? Look at this. Here is this island. And by the grace of God, this island 2,200 miles from Chile and 2,500 miles east of Tahiti, with a population of 5,700. Our missionary in Paraguay, because of his heart, because he worked with this church and knew that this church would be supportive of what he did, has made not one, but made several trips over to the Easter Island to try to let the people in this most remote place on this earth know of the gospel. and our plans are, and we'll talk more about this next week, to not just have gone to that place and leave that place alone, but for Josh to make at least 2 trips in this coming year. Well, you'll never plant a big church there. No, you never will. I don't know how religious the people are in that land. I just know that you'll never build a congregation of 500 or 600 people in a place where there are 5,000 people. But there are some lost souls that are there. And how we rejoiced when in a recent trip, Peaky was baptized, and in the next trip, Uri was baptized. And the Lord's church today, Jesus' church, that is a part of the few, that it is a part of those who may reach out and touch the lives of others again and again. You see, it's to Him that we seek to bring glory. One small congregation, Palm Beach Lakes, takes the seed of the gospel of Jesus to 175 nations, physically sends our members to nation after nation after nation, physically, materially works with those missionaries in all of these nations that were shown on the previous slides, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, for absolutely no glory to ourselves. To Him be glory. And before the world began, God chose to set up a situation where that the few, those who are really devoted to being Christians, those who are really devoted to following the Bible, to serve God, not to change the morality teachings of the Bible, not to change the nature of the church, but there would be in the 21st century congregations, and we are one of those congregations. And we say this not to bring glory to us. To Him be glory. You know what the verse before that says? Ephesians 3:21 says, to Him be glory in the church. The verse before that says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above anything you might ask or think. And 11 years ago, who would have ever imagined? Who would have ever thought that God would use the few? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the challenges before us in this coming year. Some rather exciting things. And I believe you'll want to be here, and you'll be disappointed if you're not here, to be challenged to do greater works. And we give, not because there is continual hounding from this pulpit about the fact that you ought to give and create a sense of guilt that you ought to give and you're going to go to hell if you don't give. But to say to people who love God, He sacrificed heaven so that people could go be in heaven someday with Him, and to challenge us to sacrifice so that others can be in heaven with us there. It's not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, But because of the cross of Jesus, not unto us, but to your name, we give glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that somebody taught us about you. We thank you, Father, so much that we can be a part of a congregation that is able to dream dreams. That we're thankful that our children have grown up in this very congregation. We're thankful, Father, for the impact that this church has had to bring glory to your name. And God, may we never be built up with pride, but may we truly be thankful when we say, Father, we thank you for Palm Beach Lakes. Use us, Lord, in every way that you can, and help us to prayerfully serve you. Help us to sacrificially serve you, that even greater joy can be in heaven because there are more souls who are repenting. And there will be even greater glory in heaven because to you be the glory forever and ever. We pray, Father, that you would bless us and bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. It may be that you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. We hope that you want to be a Christian, a New Testament kind of Christian. Real serious about this church business. We're not just playing games. We're trying to change lives to help people live closer to God and get to heaven. And you may have made that decision because of the faith that you have in Him. Isn't that what John 3:16 says, where it all begins? You've made up your mind. That decision to serve Him is called repentance. You may make up your mind right this very minute. I'm going to become a Christian today. And when you've confessed your faith in Him, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible question to you then is, what are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Acts 22:16. The Bible says that for one to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit needs to extend the invitation. That's what Bible study, that's what Bible preaching is all about. Message from heaven saying, don't you want to be a Christian? Don't you want to come and be a part? But the rest of that verse says, not only the Holy Spirit, but that the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, says, come. And that's why we sing a song of invitation to say to those who are lost, come. You can do that today. It's not that complicated. Make the commitment, and God will forgive you of all the wrong you've ever done in your life when He washes you in the blood of the Lamb of God. If you're an unfaithful Christian, you don't share in the promise of the last thing that's on the screen that says, be faithful unto death. You need to repent today and let the church pray for you that you might be forgiven. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing, will you come?